Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're now into the second hour, blasting out on the AM and FM dial, simulcasting globally on shortwave and the web at Infowars.com, JonesReport.com, and PrisonPlanet.com. He has written multiple scholarly volumes. I've read two of his books. He has made a documentary presentation about corruption and decline of the Catholic Church. He, of course, is a World War II veteran. He is a national champion back in the 60s of the TV game show Jeopardy. Pretty darn smart. And he's even corrected me on air a few times with my history. And he is, 86, 87 years old. He is also the, of course, father of the most successful Hollywood producer and actor, Mel Gibson. And so many other laudable things. And I was so honored to hear that he was considering going public and speaking out again about issues near and dear to his heart, and that he would go public first after several years of not doing any interviews on this radio show. And he's also, I consider him a good friend of mine. We've met before, and I've talked to him many times on the phone. We've interviewed him many times. Hutton Gibson. Hutton, thank you for coming on with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
I tell you, so much has happened since we last talked on air. How many, was that like 2.5 years ago?
It must be at least, yes.
Well, I tell you, you really got misrepresented and attacked in the press, but it wasn't successful. It seemed to backfire. But we're not going to be getting into those issues today. We're going to be talking about something you're really an expert on and recognized by many traditional Catholics as one of the most informed people. And what would you call it? Just the takeover of the Catholic Church, or the decline, or the Masonicization? What would you call it?
The replacement, I would say. What we have there now is nothing like the Catholic Church I grew up in.
We've only got a few minutes before we break. Give us a little bit of an overview of some of the issues you want to discuss today.
Well, for instance, the church has turned into a discussion society. It's meant to be a missionary society. Church has four marks. It is one, holy, Catholic, apostolic. And all those marks are gone in this new church. Especially the apostolic, because that means you go and preach the word. That's what Christ said to do. And he would be with us all days to preach his gospel. When you stop preaching it, you can't expect him to be with you. They've decided that salvation is available everywhere, so why would anyone bother to come to the church, which used to be the most difficult road?
We'll also get into, you've got a little list of things here that we've talked about privately. Ratzinger, what he's really doing, how he was praying to Mecca, also how he's been calling now three times since he got in there, into the papal seat, calling for a new world order. And also you've discovered that a new cathedral they built is really a Masonic temple.
Yes, that's where they put up this building as a shrine to Padre Pio. And when you look at it, you see Masonic design everywhere. And I mean everywhere. It's too blatant to be accidental. Like all this stuff in the church entirely. It's all too obvious to be accidental. It cannot have happened by accident according to your theology. That building is a demonstration of it. They've done pretty much the same down in Mexico at our Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and then over in Portugal at Our Lady of Fatima.
Hutton Gibson, we're going to break. We're going to come back. Long segment, plenty of time to break this down. Let's get into Ratzinger, what his agenda is, get into the new cathedrals, Masonic temples, and talk about the demonization by different organizations of traditional Catholics, which you are one. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, for stations that just joined us, recapping, Hutton Gibson, World War II vet, author, researcher, traditional Catholic leader, father of Mel Gibson, joins us. He's been misrepresented and misquoted and twisted by the press, and I consider him to be a very nice, very informed, good person who's done a lot of good works. And I wanted you to have a chance to hear what Hutton Gibson really has to say from him, not from the New York Times or 2020 or something else. And I'm honored that, again, he hasn't been on the air in about 2.5 years since the whole Passion of the Christ controversy. He is now, with his maiden voyage here back on talk radio, joining us. Hutton, I think the best place to start is how you got disillusioned with the modern Catholic Church, how it changed. And then a few years ago I was reading your book, The Enemy is Still Here, pointing there at Rome. And large sections are about Ratzinger. You were fingering him then as one of the prime controllers of the Illuminati infiltration and control of the Catholic Church, the whole Masonic influence. So if you can, break down kind of how you woke up and then who Ratzinger is, and then I'd like to talk about some of the things he's been doing, calling for a one-world government, a one-world religion, saying all religions are the same. I'd like to go through that with you, and I think once you've illustrated that, how could anybody be one of these mainline so-called Catholics, because they're not really Catholics? So please, sir, enlighten us on that.
Well, I got into the deal. See, when I was in this country, I was too far from the Catholic schools, and my children were not being subjected to this gradual subversion coming into the schools about 1960 and 1961. When I moved to Australia, I thought it would be a great idea. Send them to Catholic school. By gosh, I can do this again. And so I did. And about a year later, they came around and showed me what they were using for texts in religion class. It wasn't the catechism. It was nothing that had anything to do with the Catholic Church. It was a publication put out every month. And the boys at the school, which was St. Leo's in Warunga, Sydney, Australia, would take this paper out to the cricket ground and burn it ceremonially. So they didn't believe it either.
So they knew what was going on.
Yes. Well, I took a look at this stuff, and I got into it with the cardinal, who had just been made a cardinal, and Freeman. And he referred me here and referred me there because he couldn't do anything about it. He wasn't very bright. I sent him in long, Australian pages are a bit longer than the 11. It's about 8.25 by 14 instead. And I filled up 8 pages of that with heresies I culled out of this publication, this periodical that came out 10 times or 11 times a year. They broke for Christmas. So, he didn't answer me. One way he said, "We're not here to jam religion down these boys' throats." And I thought to myself, what are you there for? This is why they go to Catholic school, to get their religion. Whether it's jammed down their throats or what, they've got to get it. And they were not getting it. So I got into the battle with him, and the next thing you know, I found out that there was a real mass around somewhere. I hadn't noticed so much. I've been traveling. I hadn't noticed the changes so much. I used to wonder, for instance, why did the Irish take this lying down? And what it comes down to is that they were given the old patriotic approach. And their vernacular was not English, it was Gaelic. And most of them don't speak it or understand it too well. So anyway, that's all by the way. But in Australia, they were the first to go vernacular. And the translations, of course, were wretched. And then I found the Latin Mass Society and joined it and found out things are much worse than I had thought. So then I got into it for fair. objecting to that, what they call the Novus Ordo Missae, the New Order of Mass, which came in 1969 and replaced all these translations that were going here and there and everywhere.
Yeah, that's the key. They didn't just take it out of Latin into English or Spanish. They then changed it. And then from that change, we move forward 30 years, and popes are calling, Pope John Paul II, Ratzinger, you know, the new guy, they're calling for a new world order. They're calling hundreds of religions to the Vatican and saying they're all the same. I mean, this is 180 degrees from what's in the Bible. How did this happen in such a short space of time historically?
Well, mostly it was the communist tactic. We educate the young, or miseducate the young, or fail to educate the young. So that we have two or three generations now which had never seen the Catholic Church in action. When Pius XII left us in 1958, I was 40 years old. I knew my church. I'd been raised Catholic. All my instruction and all my formal schooling was Catholic. And I got in the army, and I was the target for everybody. You want to argue religion? Go see Gibson. And I will have to say, with a great deal of pride, that I never lost an argument. But they all wound up saying to me, "All you Catholics are all alike. You're a bunch of sheep. You just do what you're told." And I always said, "Nonsense. I know exactly what I believe and why." But I figured out now that most people did not have my education, in spite of going through the Catholic schools. Of course, when I got out, having argued with all these people, I realized I hadn't picked up enough. So I went into it in earnest, and I have quite a library of Catholic books and encyclopedias and dictionaries and various types of Bibles. I've got everything you can imagine here that fills a double garage. It used to be.
Well, there's no debating. I mean, you can debate in the past all day long, but there's no debating now that the Catholic Church is a pure instrument, and I know you would say it isn't really the Catholic Church, of world government. Move us forward to Ratzinger. You start writing books. You start speaking out. You fingered Ratzinger a long time ago.
Well, he was
as a prime mover.
He was one of these, what they call periti at Vatican II. Experienced man, it's the same word, experio. So he was there advising all these bishops that had been called together, most of whom seemed to have left their brains outside the door and gone in and taken all this. There's one thing you can say about Vatican II. In contrast to all ages of the Catholic Church, and its councils and its doctrines and its accurate and explicit phraseology, you find Vatican II, which put out more than the largest council we had before, which put out more than all the councils together before that. This is a great bank of fog. Nobody can figure out what it means. It contradicts itself internally. It promotes heresies which have been condemned by the Church. And, well, Ratzinger was there. He was right there in the beginning. He was helping out to put it over on these bishops.
Now fast-forwarding.
Then he advanced through the Church, and he wound up as a so-called cardinal and a so-called bishop, and put in charge of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which is a change in name, of course, from the Congregation of the Holy Office.
And so he got in a key position over the canons and the doctrine.
Yes, that's correct. He was there in charge, and while there in charge, he promoted a book and wrote the preface for it, called, it was put out by the Pontifical Biblical Commission, and the title of the book is The Hebrew People and Their Holy Scriptures in the Christian Bible. And then he proceeded to deduce that we should listen to this. We should accept them because they may be right. Now, if they are right, then we are wrong.
Basically, it's what the Pharisees were saying to Christ. He's saying the Pharisees might be the good guys.
Yes, that's it. They could be right. These Masoretic scriptures, which, of course, they had in their hands and eliminated anything they found distasteful to them over, almost two millennia now. We are supposed to take their slant on it because they understand Hebrew. But it comes right down to it. If St. Paul says, if Christ be not risen, then is our faith vain.
Well,
and they disagree on the central fact of history.
Well, we know, Hutton Gibson, where they're going with this because now there's no pretense. I mean, the Ratzinger is openly saying New World Order, One World Religion. I mean, this guy's talking like the Antichrist now.
He certainly is. He gets crazier by the day. He even goes to Istanbul, and while he's there on another tack, he receives these Muslims, and of course it was staged. Nothing's done by accident there. He goes to their mosque, and he's there, I guess with his shoes off, during their prayer time. So it was no shock to him that they were going to pray five times a day. They do this, and he joins in.
Hutton, stay there. We've got a break. I want to come back and talk about when you believe the Masonic Order was able to fully take over the Catholic Church and what Ratzinger's doing, where the Catholic Church, or what they call the Catholic Church, where it's going. We'll be right back after this quick break. He hasn't been on the radio in over 2.5 years. He joins us now, breaking his silence, Hutton Gibson. It's a short segment, long segment coming up after this one. Hutton, we were talking during the break. There's another point you want to discuss, how the Illuminati crowd, when they fully took control, also wanted to, I guess, break the church's goodwill, I guess, with the public down, so they purposefully... And they've done this with the Republican Party, too. It's come out in the news, you know, the male prostitutes, all of it, to bring in people into leadership positions to basically compromise the church, which is a very old trick. And you guys were warned about this by people that were on the inside even before it happened, weren't you, Hutton?
Yes, we were. There was a bunch of... people around the turn of the last century, the modernists, and they were doing their best to take over the doctrine of the church and the running of it. We almost had one of those fellows elected pope in 1903, Cardinal Mariano da Rampolla del Tindaro. But the Emperor of Austria, acting in his with his hat on, Holy Roman Emperor, vetoed him. So before he was elected, he could not have vetoed him afterwards, but he got in before when it looked like he would be elected. So the trouble is that he was still there in the church and acted as Secretary of State some of the time, to Pius X, and he contributed to a new code of canon law. There had never been no code of canon law in all church history, but it had laws here and decrees there, and it was such a jumble that they put them all together, not for any great benefit, but simply to have them in one place, and this benefited chiefly the canon lawyers. But the people that were in charge of the code, encoding this thing, were modernist and Freemason, and they left out a couple of strange laws. They don't treat the Freemasonry as it had been treated. It became an irregularity instead of an apostasy. This prevented the people from, if they were caught at it, from functioning as priests, bishops, anybody. But it didn't take away their status immediately. They didn't go in and dig them out and say, this is a Mason. They did on, Pius X did on three occasions. He chucked out three bishops in France. And one of them became the cause in 1904 of the break between the Holy See and the French government, which of course was Freemasonic. So, but anyway, they left out these laws against Freemasons and left the room for some of these things to come back in again. And among the group around Rampolla and Gaspari was the Archbishop of Milan at the time, Della Chiesa, who became Benedict XV. And it was under his regime that this canon law was installed. And as I say, it did not have sufficient safeguards against things. One of the things we've just come across lately is that the same Pope, St. Pius V, who objected to any change in the Mass, he had to do this because with the Reformation going on, he had to have a Mass he could guarantee. So he took the oldest Mass available. Go on way back in history before anyone can really trace it. And this is what he guaranteed and said there will be no heedless change to this. Of course, there are changes made when you institute a new feast. You've got a new saint you want to honor or...
Well, specifically, though, we were talking in the break, though, you were talking about a law that you guys found that was talking about not having the pedophiles in there and how it would bring down the church and let the other governments take over. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about Ratzinger and how he's calling for a new world order, what that means, and then that new cathedral that's a Masonic temple, and a lot more with Hutton Gibson. World War II veteran, National Jeopardy champion back in the 60s, and, of course, author, father of Mel Gibson and 10 other children. Hutton Gibson is our guest, for those that just joined us, and I mean, every few months, some Catholic cardinal calls for a one-world government, a new world order. Ratzinger has done it three times. That's the current so-called pope. And so people could debate all day, you know, was the Catholic Church evil 100 years ago? Was it evil 50 years ago? There is no debating. Yeah, there's no debating that this is not the Catholic Church it was, and there's no debating the fact that it is a total tool of one world government, and the symbolism and the buildings they're building and everything they're doing is pushing for a one world religion. Break down for us, Hutton, what Ratzinger means from your studying of him, and you've written a book, you know, a lot of it's about him, about what he means when he says a new world order, and why he's going to mosque and praying to Mecca. Why is he calling for a one world religion? I mean, this stuff is right out of Revelations.
Well, it's, I think, almost an axiom that if you're going to have a one-world government, you pretty well got to have a one-world religion. People have religion to fight over, they'll fight over it. So if they're all in one crew that way, that's one big thing eliminated. It also tones the church down to where it will never argue with the government, which it should be doing in any number of cases, for instance, abortion. And he has his own crew in there. Now they've been at this for well over 100 years, getting their people into the government of the church itself. And the people, I don't say all necessarily Freemasons, but most of them are vulnerable, as were the high muckety mucks at Vatican II, to blackmail. And the blackmail was not necessarily that they belonged to the Freemasons, though in a number of cases it was so, but in almost all cases, they had their hands in the till, or they had girlfriends, or they had boyfriends. Even a couple of our so-called popes have had boyfriends.
Which popes, so-called popes, had boyfriends?
Well, Paul VI had a gentleman, if I may use the term loosely, an Italian actor named Carlini. Very handsome man, used to dye his hair red, which I suppose I should take as a compliment. But he was not, he could come in and out of the Vatican at any time he pleased. And I've spoken to a man who was there and saw this happening. He was a member of the Vatican, what would you call it, the guards. He was there in a position where he could have stopped this man if he hadn't had orders not to.
Who else, what other so-called pope was involved in this?
Well, I hate to do this without, what would you call...
going into it in detail and proofing it, you know.
Yeah, I it's a terribly destructive thing, and if you have no way to write offhand to prove it...
I understand, then. Let's not go there. I mean, but we see the same thing in the White House, Republican and Democratic Party. It's like Foley, the congressman, running the Missing Children and Exploited Children program, and then you've got two deputy heads of Homeland Security caught raping or trying to rape children. You've got Bohemian Grove, the Franklin cover-up, Skull and Bones. Even the New York Post reporting, quote, top gay porn star service moguls at Bohemian Grove. This, I guess, is part of this Illuminati religion, or I guess it's a rite of passage so they know you're compromised, that you be involved in this. I think even bigger than just Freemasonry, and again, I'm not saying most Masons are low-level and don't even know what's going on, but high-level folks. But it seems like it is a rite of passage to do... I mean, I guess it's kind of like a low-level street gang will go, you know, mug an old lady as a rite of passage so they know you're really a member of the crew or the mafia. You got to kill two people to be a made member. I mean, is this a way to get made? Or why? I mean, why is this so prolific and it seems to be a prerequisite?
Well, for one thing, I suppose you recall Della Dodd, who was a member of the Communist Party, who returned to Catholicism and then... let it be known that she personally had put 1,100, or was it 1,200, people, students, into Catholic seminaries to study for the priesthood. And when she mentioned this in the 60s, she said, they're about running the church now, these people. And we have this law of Pius V, which really... puts the homosexual out of the business. He can't do anything in the church, and he should be turned over to the civil authority, and the civil authority at the time simply killed him. So this law was not included in this 1917-18 code. And so we have to wonder about the people that put the code in. Rampolla, Gaspari, Benedict XV,
But clearly they wanted it so they could then blackmail. It's the same thing that's happening today. Now, what is the overall agenda now that these globalists have fully gotten control of the Catholic Church? I mean, where is all this going, Hutton?
Well, they've managed to destroy any respect that most people have for the clergy, and especially the hierarchy. There's a gentleman in Illinois, Stephen Brady, who puts out a report every now and then called AMDG, Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam, all for the greater glory of God. And he has been fighting these queers, these homosexuals, in the clergy and in the hierarchy. and I can draw very readily, I'm led to believe by his investigation, that 70% of the American Catholic bishops are queer.
So, well, I would specify and be specific on that, though. This is a prerequisite for blackmail. So people out there listening, whatever their view on this is, the point is this is being done strategically to control the Republican Party, the Democratic Party. And this is a club, then. They only let their people in.
They let in the blackmailable people, so they will do what they're damn well told. Right?
Well, we see this in sheriff's departments. This ended up happening in Austin a few years back. And so regardless of what people's views are, people out there, you know, who are liberal, modern, whatever, and say, oh, you know, you guys are being, Hutton's being, you know, backward and bigoted, whatever your view is on that, Hutton is simply stating the fact and that 70% from the research of the bishops are involved in this, and I've seen it from my own research. I totally agree with that. I would say more than half of the Republican leadership is, and you know, it's been coming out that the chairman of the RNC, Hastert, governors, on and on and on. And the point is, it's not just like, oh, you know, these gay people just so happen to get these positions of power. No, they're picked as part of this network. And I'd go further. It's a lot further than just homosexuality. There's also a lot of pedophilia involved in this, and that's how they really like to blackmail people. Hutton?
Yeah, that's true. So
what percentage from the research, if 70% are homosexual, what percentage are involved in going after the altar boys?
Of the 70% that are queer, yeah, I would say 100%. Because that's much worse. You can blackmail people better that way. These days, it seems to be no crime to throw up your orders and say, well, I can't stand this celibacy and go away. But that's something else again, and as you mentioned in the case of the government, people are promoted because they can be told what they must do.
It's amazing. Would you advise somebody then to put somebody in a mainstream so-called Catholic school or system if there's this many perverts floating around in there?
I would not. I think it's one of the worst things you can do these days. At least if you're in a public school, while it is dumbed down and perverted, it is not officially anti-Catholic. Is all religion, of course. You can't bring up religion in this place unless you bring it in, sneak the Bible in as a
history book.
A history book or
literature.
Literature. I have a good fine example of good writing. But that's not all the Bibles you see these days. Some of them are pretty wretched.
Well, you're absolutely right. So bottom line, it's compromised, it's blackmailed. Regardless of people's political views or social views, the point is this is going on. This is happening. They're using it to blackmail the White House. This is system-wide, and it's gotten so bad that, as I keep reporting, DynCorp and Halliburton can be in the Chicago Tribune running child kidnapping rings, and no one gets in trouble. I mean, this is so big. What is their goal? I mean, you know, one-child policy, breaking up the family, society's degenerating, every major organization's been infiltrated or compromised or completely taken over by these New World Order people. The average Mason is compartmentalized and has never proceeded outside the porch, so they think the Masonic Order's good and think we're liars. They don't know what it is, high level. It seems like the whole world is in thrall of this devilish system. Where is it all going, Hutton?
Well, it's heading straight for the end. I don't know how long it's going to take, but unless we can get our church back some way, and get the government back some way, too, as long as we're at it, but you're more likely to get it back if you have a bunch of people who are trained in morals. It's not done anymore. Everything is loose.
What do you say to mainstream, mainline people that think they're members of the Catholic Church who go along with all of this? I mean, it's clear that this has been designed to destroy that institution. It has. The membership's fallen off. It's falling apart. But what would you say to those that are still part of this system? What would you say to those who are in denial? I mean, when Ratzinger's up there saying one world government, new world order, one world religion, I mean, it doesn't get any clearer. That's in clear clear English. He's clearly saying it.
That's true enough.
I mean, I don't know how people could deny.
It's also in clear German and Italian and whatever else you can think of.
Yeah.
It used to come out in Latin, and then nobody knew what he was talking about. We have to say to those people, whom do you follow? Why do you listen to these people? How is it possible that this man is a pope? Because that's what they do. They're infallible. They hold the office, and therefore they can do no wrong, logically. They carry it too far, because his infallibility is limited to the articles of faith and to the morals.
That means the implementation of the basic foundation, the Bible, the canons.
Yes, and whatever the church has taken from tradition, from Christ and his apostles. Tradition is not what comes later.
Well, isn't it, Hutton Gibson? I mean, this is really like bank robbers dressing up like police to go rob the bank, and then everybody submits to them and says, well, they're wearing the uniform, they must be cops.
Yeah, well, you have to figure there are such things in the world as oxymorons. We have what you could call mutually exclusive concepts. And since these men are on record as promoting heresy, they cannot be Catholic. And if they are not Catholic, they cannot be Pope. We have not had an eligible Pope since Pius the XII.
Now, there's a big debate about when the New World Order, and we know it was always in there and doing things, but when the New World Order fully took control of the entire Catholic apparatus, at least this more modern Masonic version, and there's a big debate raging about that. From your research and the other scholars you confer with and your trips to Rome and your research, what have you discovered? When can you mark the point they really, you know, had control?
What they did was call this Vatican Council II, for which there was no reason. If there were any reasons, there might have been three things that would call for something like that, and they did not rule on any one of them. And one of them was communism, one of them was contraception, and one of them was usury. And they never said a word on any of these, officially.
Well, what is it going to take for people to figure out that Ratzinger's pure evil? Is he going to have to dress up in a devil outfit and dance around with a pitchfork?
I don't think that'll do it. People do things like that all the time.
Oh, man. I mean, that's the equivalent calling for one world government, one world religion.
Well, as far as it should make a point with Catholics, that the man is not a bishop. And there he is. His office is Bishop of Rome. And he's not a bishop, because he went through a ceremony which would never make anyone a bishop, which was brought in at the same time this new mass was brought in 1969.
So basically there was a hostile takeover. They'd already infiltrated long before, but there was a hostile takeover in 69. That's the key date?
Well, that was pretty conclusive at that point, where they put us all... Any priest that would look at that new mass and say, this is a mass, would have to deny all his education and the oaths that he took up on ordination.
Hutton Gibson, I'm looking at a Southern Poverty Law Center, quote, intelligence report. Radical powerhouse, the Society of St. Pius V, or is that the 10th, which has chapels and schools across the United States, remains a front, and it goes in to say it's basically evil Nazis. If you don't submit to what the mainline church says, you're a Nazi. Do you have comments on, I mean, they're really getting bold when they're attacking the traditionalist Catholic movement that's got tens of millions of members.
Well, they're trying to isolate us, put us into this right-wing corner. I've often wondered how I got out on this right wing, because I grew up right in the center of the church. And without a change of attitude, belief, practice, suddenly I'm out here on this right wing. And who's demonstrating this is a right wing? All I'm doing is exactly what my ancestors did, right back to the time of St. Patrick.
But it seems more and more, Hutton, that the establishment is losing control. The alternative media is exploding. Alternative films are exploding. It does seem that the pendulum is starting to swing back. Things are getting bad, but it does seem like people are waking up. Are you seeing that?
Well, I hope they're waking up. I'm trying to help wake them up by talking in public for a change. I've been neglecting my duty because of the... See, there are certain people that are... They don't give a damn what I think. They're out after my son.
Now, we understand that. Well, let's talk some more about that since you bring it up when we get back. Okay, folks. Welcome back. The War Is Now is Hutton's newsletter. He's also written several books, pamphlets, and one of them is The Enemy Is Still Here. You can get his newsletter for $5 a year, and you can write to ACT. Write this down, folks. This is for traditional Catholics, Catholics, or just the general public that want to be informed by a scholar who's really studied this, and it is scholarly. It's heavy reading. I've read it several times and read two of his books. ACT, P.O. Box 27, Pleasant Unity, PA 15676. That's ACT, P.O. Box 27, Pleasant Unity, PA 15676. And up on Infowars.com, we have a link to HuttonGibson.com. That's not his site, but someone runs it, and he says it's a good site. It has most of his info up there, and it's good. You can read a lot of the articles he's written and also get the P.O. Box address. Hutton Gibson, H-U-T-T-O-N, Gibson, HuttonGibson.com, or ACT, A-C-T, P.O. Box 27, Pleasant Unity, P.A. 15676. Hutton, was all that accurate I just said?
Correct.
Let's get back, because you brought it up, and I'm being careful not to be too controversial here and respect the fact that you trust this show to come on here after 2.5 years, or I guess silence since 2004, really. You said they want to get at your son through you. We hit the break. Please continue.
Well, that's I'm the whipping boy, I suppose. I'm responsible for anything he thinks, and anything he thinks must be what I think. This general guilt by association, I guess you call it, they used to call it McCarthyism.
Well, he does. Now, I mean, Mel does stick up for his dad, and he says that you're his biggest hero.
Well, that's very gratifying. I hadn't heard that one.
Oh, yeah. He, I've seen it in a TV interview, but... You know, I tell you, they did take out of context what you said. They did lie about what you said. They did all sorts of things. I got called by internet, by national television, wanting to buy an interview you did here, and I just told them, where they could go, so they could try to craft some things. And it's just despicable. But again, like I said, people are waking up to this. They're not buying it anymore, Hutton.
I hope not. But, you mentioned the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yes.
Isn't that outfit that chased the Ten Commandments out of the Alabama State Court?
Yes, building? that's what they do. They're here to destroy the country. And then Bush didn't even stand up for Judge Roy Moore. He sent a prosecutor down after him.
Well, what do you expect? Isn't this the guy that... Well, he's against abortion, and then he says, well, give me a bill, I'll sign it. He doesn't need a bill. He got this doggone Homeland Security thing through there because he wanted it.
Well, remember 3 years ago you were on right when The Passion of Christ was about to come out, and you told me about the Diane Sawyer interview before it even went on TV that Mel said, you know where the guess where I'm going to hide out after this movie comes out? I'm going to hide where the WMDs are hidden.
Right.
Because nobody can find me.
Nobody will ever be able to find him. Right.
What do you think about their talk of attacking Iran?
Well, they'll get to it. They don't throw these things up. It's a balloon, and then you get talked into it. People discover things that have happened, like Well, maybe 500 years ago, the Shah of Persia shot a Christian or something, if he had a gun. I don't know about this. You suppose they had guns?
Well, we're going to break for 70 seconds and come back and do just five more minutes with Hutton Gibson. Always interesting to talk to him. We'll be right back. All right, coming up in this hour, I'm going to get into the Illuminati, the Masons, their occultic activities, and even Keith Olbermann's gone on national TV and said Bush is engaging in human sacrifice over in Iraq. We're going to play that clip, and I was talking to one of the anthropologists who lives here in Austin, a friend of mine who's also a fan of the show, who was one of the anthropologists on Apocalypto, and she was talking about how, and Mel's actually said it publicly too in some interviews, but on the set he was talking about how, you know, this is human sacrifice. But now even Keith Olbermann's saying it. Do you agree with that, Hutton? That, I mean, this is a weird form of human sacrifice over there?
Absolutely. We have no business there.
But, I mean, Bush says we must have more sacrifice.
Well, yeah. Well, that's... I would appreciate it more if he had been right there in the Army when they wanted him, or in the Air Force, wherever he was supposed to be.
Or if his daughters were enlisting right now.
Yeah, that would help. Or some of the members of his family.
What are you going to do if they try to reinstitute the draft? I mean, you left the U.S., you said, pretty much because of that in the late 60s. And what's the family planning if they try a draft now with all those grandkids?
Well, to start with, 28 of them are in Australia. They can't get at them. After that, it's anybody's guess.
Hutton, in closing, anything else you want to add? And why did you decide to, after 2.5 years of silence, I guess the last time I interviewed you on air, you were about 86, now you're 88. Why are you now deciding to go public again?
Well, I'm shirking my duty. I've got to get this stuff out about the church. And it doesn't make any difference what else I'm supposed to have said or thought. We got the thought police going, of course.
Now, they've got all this hate crimes legislation they're trying to pass to restrict free speech.
Oh, yeah. Free thought, too. But... for instance, now our friendly Ratzinger has decided that he will give us his kind, loving permission to have a mass back. But he's not doing that. He's giving us the 1962 change of John 23rd.
So basically, but again, that shows they're at least trying to camouflage what they're doing a little bit more. That shows that the traditionalist movement... or is it called the Orthodox movement, is exploding. I mean, is it not?
Well, they're trying to break it up, you see. Some people will settle for just the Mass. I won't. I want the whole church back.
Well,
they won't have the Mass anyway because they have nobody that can say it.
Well,
all the priests ordained, supposedly, since 69 are not priests. And what they would then participate in, if it weren't right in the rite already, is idolatry.
Well, Hutton, you've done amazing work with others towards exposing this takeover and this evil, and it does show that individuals highly motivated can have an effect, and you have had a life well lived and are still doing wonderful work, and I know you're going to be around with us for a long time to come, my friend, and I hope we can avert an attack on Iran and a draft and the rest of it, but I think if they try that, it's going to be the beginning of the end for them. I think they can push too far.
Yeah, well, they'll push too far. Because they're after a certain thing. Homogenization. Everybody's got to be the same. Otherwise, we won't make good slaves. That goes in the church, especially. So if we get the church back, we have a chance at the other. I don't know what chance we have with the government. But I'm working as well as I can on the church.
You keep it up. HuttonGibson.com. And we've got a link up on the site to his P.O. box to get his newsletter, $5 a year. Hutton, thank you for coming on. Again, I'm honored you chose this program to go public again. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you.
Take care. There goes Hutton Gibson. We'll be right back with the news and a lot more.